Ephesians chapter 1, we're in lesson 6. And last lesson we left off with some anger issues and blowing up and clamming up. And I hope that helped you in a way that as we talked about things, I blow up. And I think I shared that with you. I don't clam up, I blow up at situations. And then that gives you a chance to forgive me. You know, for who I am. But some of us, sometimes we clam up in some things and we just hold it in and hold it in and hold it in until we lash out. And just remember that in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to riches of his grace. That's the answer. We have forgiveness through his blood. And verse 8, wherein he hath bound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worked all things after the counsel of his own will. Now we're in verse 8, and it says, wherein he hath abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. You know, God has revealed to us his ultimate wisdom, and made us a part of that inner circle, and he wants us to rejoice in this with him. We think about societies and book clubs and memberships. Everybody wants to be a part of that inner circle, don't they? This is our local church here. It's huge in God's eyes, and we're doing what God wants to do, but we all want to be a part of that inner circle and who we are, a family. And that's why we come here. One of the reasons why we come here, to worship corporately, to get to know each other, know how you feel, and know what's going on in your life, so we can rejoice and we can cry together and we rejoice together and all. But God, one of the things he does, God's grace has opened the counsel of his will to us. You know, we was God rejecting, wasn't we? We was death deserving sinners. But now that we trust Christ to die for your sins and buried and rose again, we're a part of him. And that's a wonderful thing, that he saved us and made completely righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're learning about in the book of Ephesians, that it's that advanced mystery truth, because we finished up in Romans. And that's the first book of doctrine that gets you the basic foundation. Now, the next book of doctrine for the body of Christ is the book of Ephesians, and you're going to learn more of who you are and where you're made to sit and how you present yourself, your standing, your state. And this is your, I don't say marching orders, but this is where some good meat. You know, you couldn't, if you didn't have the book of Romans down first to know who you are in Christ, you couldn't handle what he's getting ready to tell you. Remember how Paul was tell the Corinthians that I couldn't feed you meat? He had to feed them like a little baby in a bottle, right? But I believe grown-ups should put away milk and eat meat. You know, you couldn't feed, let's get back to that in a second, you couldn't feed a little baby steak, could you? You know, they'd sit there and gag, and you're like, come on, eat it, it's good. But you can't, you grind it up, or you make mincemeat out of it and all that stuff. But he has abound in us in all wisdom and prudence, which means insight. That's what it means. We have the insight of what God is doing for us today and for ages to come. In other words, we have the knowledge to know, and the wisdom which allows us to take what we know and use it for the best possible uses with prudence, to understand all that is being done. You know, we talk about what is God's will, and we're going to look at some things. What does God has in store for me? Well, he wrote a book. And if you want to know what he's doing today, you look in his book. You know, many of us has professions, and you did not learn what you doing in your profession without looking in a book. Because if you went outside that book and said, this is what I'm going to do to take blood pressure, they would say, oh no, you're not. You're not working here. This is the way we do things. So that, you see it, wherein, in that first verse in 8, wherein, you break that down, and we're not going to break it down totally, There's a he in there and there's an in there. And that in is very, very important. Look at some verses with me. Verse 11, in. We're in. That in is verse 11, in whom we all have obtained an inheritance. That's very, very important, isn't it? Look at chapter 3, verse 10. Chapter 3, verse 10. That in. We know who he is. We're in he. That in chapter 3, verse 10. To the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Look at Psalms. Psalms. I can read these to you right quick and you can write them down. But I'm gonna read these, but stay in there, Ephesians. Psalms chapter 104, verse 24 says, O Lord, how manifold art thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Proverbs 8:12 says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty intentions. Isaiah 53 says, Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled to very high. Daniel says, Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changed the times and the seasons. He removed kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. That's that in Christ Jesus. That's in him, God Almighty. Matthew 11:19 says, The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, Behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibbler, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. Romans 11:33 says, Oh, the depth of riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. That end is very, very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19, and we'll look at this again. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing and the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For after that, the wisdom of God, that the world by wisdom knew not God. Isn't that true today in these institutions and schools and stuff like that? They don't want the wisdom of God. They want the wisdom of man. It pleased God by the foolishness of preachers to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. You want to know what the power of God is? You preach the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection. You know what you want to know what the wisdom of God is today? You preach Jesus Christ according to revelation of the mystery. Not the revelation of the prophecy. But revelation mystery. Chapter 2, verse 7 says, But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the Lord into our glory. And over and over and over. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 6 says, Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for if they have known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, Eye have not seen, nor ear have heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that loved him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of Christ. In that passage along, Paul explains how God, before the foundation of the world, had a secret mystery into what? Our glory. on his wisdom, not man's human wisdom. You know, it still strikes me, we took a little trip, okay? And the place where we went to was all about man's wisdom and how they served other gods, pagan gods, temples there. And they're still doing everything they was. Going there and looking at where they used to sacrifice humans and animals and stuff. They still look at that. And that's human wisdom. And another thing about human wisdom is the institutions that we described a little while ago. But nor Satan's policy of evil wisdom has become naught to God. He don't look at that. He says it's nothing. So what do we have to do? We have to think about that, don't we? We have to think about what we was learned as a child that does not line up with the dispensation of grace of God. I know some of you right now, when you first heard this message of grace, the unadulterated message of grace was given to Paul, he was like, no, 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 that's not right. What Bible are you reading out of? That type of thing. You fought it for a while. Then you said, no, something's wrong. And it kept bringing you, and the Word of God kept getting you closer. And now you're lining up to what God says. We don't know it all. God forbid if I know anything, but I'm just saying the Word of God is what we look at, the authority. This is what we say and say, you know, I may not understand it, but this is what it says. And there's no contradictions in your Bible. You know that. Amen. People says that it is. It's not. There's contrast. They're opposites. So that's why we make a distinction between the prophetic program, and which is the earth, prophecy, and the mystery program, which deals with the heavens and all. So God's wisdom is now being revealed to us that no one in the past knew about. If Satan had known it, he would have not what? Can you imagine that? You know, in Matthew chapter 4, after the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized and became a part of that ministry, John the Baptist ministry, he went up on in the mountains for 40 days and hungered. And Satan came to him and offered him things, didn't he? Three things he did. And one of the things that he offered him was the kingdoms of the world, and showed him the kingdoms of the world. Now you might scratch your head and say, how is that possible when Jesus Christ was King of Kings and Lord of Lords? But he wasn't King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You know that at that time. But he still was God's Son. And Satan asked him that and offered him that. But just think about this for a second. If, and I know if is a big word, it's like a hinge on a door. Okay? But look, if he had said, okay, Satan, I'll do that. I want these kingdoms. Satan was still in charge of the first and second heaven. He was still above God. See? So he birthed the earth and would have been above God. That's his prophetic program, is to be like the Most High God. He wants to sit on the throne. He's not sitting in the third heaven, by the way. Okay? But he had a chance to say, this world's mine. Satan knew that. So if he had not if he had known what this mystery program is accomplished in the heavens, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So I think that's just, you know, that's awesome. And who could keep that secret? God. I couldn't do it. Not a secret like that. It was hid in God. And if Satan had known. So the saints in time past had no idea what God had prepared for them. But we do now, don't we? We have the wisdom and prudence. We can understand what God is doing today. I think that's awesome, guys. And we know the deep things of God because the Holy Spirit searches out the things that God has revealed. If you're going to search and you got the right spirit, not the natural man, but if you got the Holy Spirit inside of you and he's hungry, he'll start searching some things and finding out some things, and it'll start lining up. We always say that the Holy Spirit will not work on the basis of what? Ignorance. You may think it is, or does, or have done, but the Holy Spirit is inside of you is the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And we force things in our young life and in our young Christian life and stuff, and thinking God's doing this and doing that, and we sit back and we think, I did that. You know, and we talk about decisions that we make and stuff like that. I believe God already knows what you need to do. It's just going out and doing it. You know, stepping out on faith. And that's hard for us. You know that? It's hard for me to just step out and say, okay. You know, we talk about illnesses and things going on in our body all the time. And, you know, I'm just like searching some things going on. And, you know, what do I do? And what I know what to do. I really do. It's just, I want that approval, you know what I mean? I want your approval. And God saying, hey, you're my son. You know, I'm in you and you're in me. But we have the mind of Christ opened up to us and we have his thoughts. And why would anybody want to go back to that human viewpoint when it comes to this word? Your mind has been opened up to some wonderful truths that a lot of people's minds are closed. They put blinders on. They ignore. They're ignorant, brethren. You know what the root word of ignorant is?
Ignore.
They totally ignore it. Who are you to tell me? I remember you when you was, you know, but don't let that discourage you. You know, that you let that human viewpoint go. I've said my testimony before when they came to me and showed me, brothers started showing me this dispensational truth, I fought it tooth and nail. I was a Baptist. I was going to die a Baptist. Water and altar calls was my two biggest stumbling blocks. And when I started seeing this, it wasn't water. Baptism don't mean water. It means to be identified with, and it fits in anywhere you want to put it. And then the altar calls, I got over that pretty quick because I found out that I was, you know, bad thing about altars, it was a sacrifice.
Right.
You know, and they tied you down and killed you. And I'm like, oh, okay. But what I believe, I want to be right for God. And it's like that sardine can. You put that key in it and you start to turn. You got to turn it slowly because if not, you break it off and you're like, where's the pliers? Where's the hammer claws? You know, you're doing anything and everything to open up. Where's the fork? And it makes a mess. You take it and you start cranking it back slowly, slowly, slowly. And it's like it opens up. And it's like, wow. You know, that was my experience. And it's helped me. Like I said before, I don't know it all. But I know what God says to me and for me. And you know why? When you know the mystery of his will, this can and should dominate your life. And humble you to realize how much God loves us and vast wealth we have in Christ. A lot of us are storing up riches on this earth because, I kid my kids all the time, you're spending your inheritance. You know, and dad, mom, enough's enough. No, dad, mom, dad, no, enough's enough. I say, you're spending your inheritance. But you know you can't take that when you go. So, you know, my wife loves to see the joy on her kids' face now. You know, I like to see a joy's face on my face. You know, that's selfishness, isn't it? You know, I'm thinking, I worked hard for this all my life. But you think about other people's gone on before us. They did the same thing, didn't they? But look, be turning to Philippians chapter 1:9. Well, get Colossians 1. Philippians 1:9, Paul prays the Philippians. Here's what it says. And this I pray for your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. You know, Paul prays that the Philippians' love may abound yet what? More and more in knowledge and all judgment. Why? That ye may approve things that are excellent. This is the wisdom and prudence, guys. This is where you start to obtain the wisdom of God's knowledge, not your and I knowledge. I think of Moses sometimes. He was brought up mightily in words and deeds of the Egyptians. That man could speak more clear than any president of the United States we ever had. He could speak with authority and knowledge and pronounce words. He's got one on me. But when it came to the Word of God, he says, I'm ignorant. You know, I know nothing. So you know what God did? He used Aaron, his brother, didn't he? He says, "You, Aaron will speak for you, but you just do this." So you think about that. When it comes to the wisdom of the world, you know, it's nothing. But yet, when you work with people, they want to hear things clearly, don't they? And precise. And when somebody stands up with elegance and these and thous, people tend to listen to him, oh, more so than the Word of God. But look, you prove that's wisdom. The reality is to see a situation and evaluate it from God's perspective and make a choice from the excellent as opposed to just the good. You know, we can make good decisions based on who we are in Christ, or we make, excellent decisions, or we make good decisions. But either one of them, you're still in Christ and God. You with me? And discern the situation with prudence and wisdom. Choose the things that are greater value. Wisdom and prudence comes from the Word of God. It don't come from circumstances. It don't come from that coffee pot back there. It comes from the Word of God. And that's what we need to be understanding. To get in the book and to appropriate that. Where did I tell you to turn? Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we have heard it, did not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasings, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Wisdom, prudence, knowledge, understanding, and what? In the Word of God. Strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, and to all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto God the Father. By the way, patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, that's hard sometimes, isn't it? You know, sit there long-suffering, waiting to hear something from a doctor's report, or waiting to hear something from a job, or knowing that, you know, your wife's going to scalp you when you get home because you didn't bring home the bacon or the eggs or something, you know. Long-suffering, patience, prudence with what? Joyfulness. Hey, you know our apostle is our pattern? You ever read what he went through in Corinthians? 39 times. Five times he was hit, strike. 39 times. One more, they say you're dead. That's why they stopped at 39. You know, and a shipwreck and everything that came upon him, but yet he gloried in God Almighty, didn't he? You know, I think about that, what we go through sometimes, that somebody belittles us or you know, we mess up somehow or we do something wrong and we're waiting. You know, I'm the type of guy, if I do something wrong, I say, I done it. You know, I must just get over with it. I done it. Give me the punishment so I can go on. But look, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We be filled with the knowledge of his will and wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That we may walk what? Worthy of the Lord. Colossians 2:2 talks about until all richness of the full assurance and understanding to acknowledgement of the mystery of God. And that mystery of God is a simulation of the prophetic program, and it's going to take place over in Revelation 10. That's the mystery of God. Then the mystery of the Father is the prophetic and mystery program total in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, and we'll get to that later on through Ephesians, but that's the mystery of the Father. Then you got the mystery of Christ, which is the church, the body of Christ. Ephesians 3:4, that's the mystery. So those things are very, very important. Those three programs sum up the plan and purpose of God centered in Lord Jesus Christ. And which are and all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You don't have to go looking for anything else in Jesus Christ. You know? I think, you know, you guys might not be like me, but, you know, there's sometimes I'm, boy, I wish I had this, and I wish I'd, God pour blessings and spiritual, you know, I want now. I want the prosperity message and stuff. And you got, you people, and some of you might have been part of that. You sent $100, and God's going to bless you threefold. You ever been caught up in that? Yeah?
I heard that.
Okay. And then I'm thinking, wait a minute now. I've got a light bill coming due. And it's $100. So if I send my light bill money in, and this preacher told me that God's going to bless me threefold, you know, half of me thinking, maybe this is true. Maybe God will bless me by giving that seed money to this guy. Meanwhile, my lights get cut off. What does God want you to do, guys?
Be a good steward with your money.
Be a good steward. You know? Be a good steward. All of this is available to us. The wisdom and knowledge and understanding. That's why when you grow, and you grow where God laid His books out, you start become from a child, you start becoming a son and a youth and a man. You become a full-grown man and you can make decisions based on that. And you know that if you give to them, I don't beat you up over tithing. I'm not going to do that. But I know that if you want to give something, you give something. And then you know me, I'd much rather have you here, sitting in seats, learning the way I'm learning, learning together and growing together, than anything we can buy with money. You know that. You know, you should know me by now. Amen?
Amen.
I got to get this on record, guys. Just joking. Look, I got to pay somebody off. I'll give you $5 later for that. Amen. Yeah.
You don't want that cement driveway now.
I don't care. It's been 15 years since I had a cement driveway. It's only increased your taxes, by the way. But look, the three programs. The recap, God has made known, be turning back to Ephesians chapter 1, God has made known the mystery of His will from the before the foundation of the world. How He had will gather all things of on earth, and that's the nation Israel, with Christ as Lord of Lords, and in the heaven, the church, the body of Christ, the new creation. Those two agencies, by the way, are gathered into one and completes the authority vested in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many of you know this. And many of us don't. But we got to understand what His will was. Ephesians 1:9 says, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He had purpose in who? Himself. He didn't purpose in me and you. That mystery of His will, to understand, no one could ever have known God's mystery without God first revealing it. You with me? That's Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 1:10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ and what God the Father is going to do in His Son. We know that the dispensational truths that God had the body of Christ planned out before He had this prophecy program. He knew what Satan was going to do. He knew what man was going to do. But check this out. In the dispensation of fullness of times, He might gather together one all in one, all things in Christ, even in Him. This is the master plan of God the Father. Okay? God the Father. And the dispensation of the fullness of time is when God created, is what God created time that will be completed. The dispensation of the fullness of times. They've been a lot of times before us, haven't they? Mm-hmm. You know something? They may be a lot of times ahead of us.
Amen.
You know? So just be prepared. Tomorrow we have to get up again. You know, I'm hoping the Lord comes quickly. I really am. I don't want to take a dirt bath. I want to be taken out alive. I really do. But, you know, that might not be God's will because, you know, the fullness of times. It ain't about me. There you go. It ain't about me. His eternal purpose completed, whereby they are will be totally righteousness reflecting His glory forever. When it's all said and done, that's what this little timeline here, Ephesians 1:10, that's where you're at right now, goes past this chart. The dispensation of fullness of time. You know, the sister verse, if you think about it, the sister verse is what we read. Didn't we read? Go back, hold your finger and go Colossians 1. Did we read this? No, we didn't. The sister verse, and this is like a commentary to the book of Ephesians, just like you had Romans, Galatians, and Corinthians are commentary books that helps you explain. Philippians and Colossians are commentary or sister books for Ephesians. And we looked at some things when we first started the lesson, the fact that when you read some verses in Ephesians, you go over here in Colossians and they're reading the same thing. You know, I'm thinking that's awesome. But the sister verse that explains the detail, this verse, is Colossians 1:16. Check this out. Colossians 1:16. Now, we read in the dispensation of full of times, he might gather both in one, right? Mm-hmm. In him. Verse 15 says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? You know, we're not supposed to have, this is a side note, you know we're not supposed to have graven images of God? You know these pictures you see of that supposedly what Jesus looks like? You know you're not supposed to do that? I have done it. But think about it. But look, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. On earth, are there some things visible? Mm-hmm. How about heaven? Invisible, visible right now. Invisible, right? Whether they be thrones, even in the first and second heaven. You can't see what's up there.
Planets.
What planet? Yeah, I stand corrected. Planets, stars. Mm-hmm. And the Bible talks about them possibly being angels of light, you know, that are out there. You can see them. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. For by Him all things are created. Who's that Him? This is what God the Father's will is. You know, He's going to give it to Jesus Christ. And I believe that's probably the one reason why Satan blew a fuse. Because he wanted to be like that. Wait a minute. You created this for Jesus Christ. What about me? You created me. And him sitting up there, he was the fifth cherubim. He was above it all. Of beauty. And had organs and pipes coming out of him. And he was an angel of light. This is where pride lives. This is where we got to be careful being about jealous about people, you know, and envy, because you know what I'm talking about. It affects us and affects our decision. And the principalities of all things, the thrones, dominions, and principalities and powers, visible and invisible. That throne is a seat of government authority. That dominion is the area of government authority. The principality is a government agency. And even the powers consist of government agents. Do you see that on earth? Some of us kick it, don't we? We kick against the pricks. We don't like to be told what to do. Don't you? You know, authorities and the man with the badge, or you know, or Senate or Congress or presidents telling us what to do. We hate that stuff. But God, look at hold your finger there. Well, go to get Titus chapter 3 and Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. Romans 13 and Titus 3. Romans 13, verse 1 and 2. And some of us hates this, but God said it, that settles it. Let every soul, Romans 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, that for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resist the powers resist the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to them damnation. Now I know powers of God, God ordained human government, by the way. You put the people in power, but God ordained human government to protect marriage, family, and free will. Now go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. This is a stickler. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. Uh-oh, that got a little closer to home, didn't it? To obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. He even says to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. That's hard for me, especially when it comes against doctrine. You know, some of these people that, you know, they may not believe the King James Bible, but they believe the dispensation of grace, or they believe different views of dispensation of grace. They said, hey, man, you ought to be kind. I will. I will be kind to them. But when they start demanding and pushing their doctrine, that's, you know, it's hard for me to say that's enough. You know what I mean? That's it. But think about that for a minute. Magistrates. The powers that are be ordained to God. God's eternal purpose is to establish His authority back over the universe, guys. And as a result of its, because it got separated through Satan's rebellion. He's the one that blew the fuse, if you will. He's the one that corrupted the universe. He took one third of the angelic host and they followed Him. Some was so bad that they was put in chains in the abyss, if you will, from the beginning. Them were some bad dudes.
The devil's the worst one, isn't he?
Well, he's a leader. He's their authority. And his twofold purpose, Lord Jesus Christ's twofold purpose, involves both the governmental agency in the earth as well as in heaven. That's why I'm trying to share with you so much that when you come to the book of Ephesians, it's not about you here on this earth. It's about your final destiny and how you're going to present yourself, and you can act like you're already there. In the dispensation of fullness of times, God will gather all things under Jesus Christ. He gave Him to be head over all things. And you cannot find that anywhere in the prophetic program as Christ being head of a body. You can find Him being a king. Okay? You can find Him sitting on a kingdom. But you will not find that He's going to be a head of a body. And when we as members of the body of Christ will share with Him in governmental authority as a new creation in heavenly places, and we're going to be displacing Satan. When Jesus Christ comes out of that throne room, He stands up, it's time to come back. He comes up, He comes out of that throne room of God, and He comes through the universe. I believe He cleanses the universe. The Bible talks about He rolls it up like a scroll and dumps them. You ever shake the bad apples out of the tree? You're shaking that tree and all the right bad ones fall down, but you always want that one way up there you can't get to, right? And you take that apple and you throw that apple up there, and it, about three times you knock it down and it hits the ground and gets bruised. You know? You know what I mean? But you eat it anyway. Because that's a good bruise. You wait, you don't get it all nasty and brown. It's just, well, I love apples, guys. I can describe an apple to you. But anyway, God's eternal purpose to have all things centered in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, we're closing on this. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Verse 11 says, wherefore remember that ye being in times past in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. But God ordained the body of Christ out there. And when you trust Christ Jesus, died for your sins, and was buried and rose again, he takes your spirit and soul and baptizes it into his body. And we are his workmanship. And we can make decisions, we can walk, and we can talk. Not that, you know, well, you are royalty, if I can say that. But as the world looks at your royalty, you're just peasants. Who are you? Just Christians. You know, you're just nothing. But you know, when you study the Word of God and you make those decisions and you learn to talk and walk, you can still have fun, guys. You ever thought about, and I'm closing with this, you ever thought about you kicked about being Christians and stuff and went apart because you didn't want to give up your lifestyle? You ever done that? Well, I did. Yeah. I don't want to give up this. I don't want to give up that. And I'm still not giving up a lot of stuff. My wife knows I'll fight you tooth and nail over certain things because it's about me. I will admit that. You know? So we all have something we're clinging to and grabbing on to. And you know, but, you know, you line yourself up with what we're talking about and, you know, and what we're going through, and we can say, praise God Almighty. Father, once again, we thank you for so much in our life. And, Lord, what a blessing it is to know that we're in you by the will of the Father. And, Lord, once again, I'm very thankful of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.